Welcome to Philosophical Entertainment, a podcast where, if you're not philosophically entertained, our entertainment is only philosophical. I am Neera Karavani, and I'll be your host today for this podcast episode. We have this guest, today's guest, and this one surprised me. It was an instant connection kind of guest. And this episode marks the beginning of a three-part series with the radiant, wise, and deeply intuitive Jeannie Kamo. Someone whose presence feels like sunlight on soil that's been waiting to bloom. What started as a simple call turned into an over three-hour recorded reflection of laughter, memory, astrology, and the kind of healing dialogue that cracks you open in the best way. But before we get into it, let me start by asking you this. Have you ever listened to someone speak and feel like they were somehow reading your soul's diary? Like the version of you that's grown, healed, fallen apart, and come back together is finally being seen? Well, that's what happened when I sat down with Jeannie. I had just finished watching one of her podcast episodes titled How to Heal and Direct Your Cosmic Energy. And something about it just clicked, not in an intellectual way, but in that deep, intuitive way when your whole being just says, yes, this, finally. And yet, I realized the old me wouldn't have understood it. There was a time when talk of astrology, frequency, or soul's contracts would have seemed like another language to me. I might have smiled politely, but inside I'd be resisting, doubting, dismissing, because that version of me hadn't yet gone through enough breakdowns to break open. But now, this version of me, Neera Kara, this feels truth in these conversations. It feels resonance. The echoes of something I already know but had forgotten until someone like Jeannie helped me to remember. And that's what this episode is, a remembering. Together, Jeannie and I explore the nature of evolution, personal, planetary, and spiritual. We dive into how trauma distorts perception, how astrology can be made a map for our own growth, and how identity shifts as we grow more aware. We talk about roles we play, the lives we've lived, and the relationships that initiate us into our true selves. You'll hear us reflect on our near-death experiences, moments of ego death, and the startling clarity that comes when the veil lifts, when Source peeks through and says, you're ready. It's raw, it's real, and it's the kind of exchange that makes you feel like you're sitting at a candlelit table with two old friends speaking soul to soul. As we begin this first episode, I invite you to just listen. Don't try to analyze it. Don't worry about agreeing or disagreeing. Just let it wash over you. Let your body respond. Let your inner child peek out from behind the curtain and say, maybe there's more to all of this. Because there is. And if you've found your way to this moment, if you're here listening, it means some part of you is ready for more. So, take a deep breath, get comfy, light a candle, and let's dive in. I just watched one of these podcast episodes. It was the one with, I pull it up here. How to heal, direct your cosmic energy.
With Dr. Jonathan. Yes. Yeah. Yes. And cool.
Just watch the whole thing, and everything that you're saying,
thank you,
connects with me. Like everything that you're saying makes sense to me, but it's so weird because it makes sense to the version of me now.
Yeah.
So like years ago, there was a different version of me. that when I would hear somebody at your sort of frequency talk about things in sort of an astrological sense, it seemed so abstract to me that a younger version of me in a different time would really struggle with trying to interpret what you're saying. And then also to kind of like bridge that gap to believe what you're saying is real.
Okay.
And, you know, then I've had the out of body experience thing, left my body connected with source. I did the whole thing.
Yes.
Now I get it. And I get what you're saying. And so now when I was talking with a woman recently and I was saying that I was going to have you as a guest and I was going to be talking with you, I was really
Thank
excited.
You.
Yeah, and she said something, it's not an exact quote, something like, I don't really believe in like planets and crystals. I said, well, that's really interesting. I said, because your menstrual cycle is based off of a celestial body, the moon, that circles our planet. And I said, yes. So that's really interesting to me that you could, in one moment, have your period, your menstrual cycle, and then in another moment, forget that you're connected to the waves on the planet, you know, and tidal forces and whatnot.
Absolutely.
And so it's, I think it's about framing and I think it's about Zoom level. And I think you're on a level that I don't think I was able to pick up
before. I'm glad you can now.
Me too, because you're delightful.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Just so you know, I'm totally spontaneous.
Oh, fantastic.
We can go off script. Okay, so
oh,
I want to just, and I just want to have fun and be entertaining. I am a Leo.
Oh, great.
Okay?
Oh, fantastic.
Leo loves the stage. I am a Leo. I have an Aries rising, which makes me want to lead and exert force. So you've got to watch out for that.
I love it. I love everything about it.
And I have a Virgo moon, which makes me very much analytical and perfectionist. And I have five other planets in the Virgo house. So when you sent me a bunch of questions, well, I really answered those questions. But I thank you for those questions because they caused me to do some thinking and almost, you know, write my biography out, if you will, on paper, which I hadn't done before. And I'm like, oh, that's a great question. Can I put the words to it? And so I love going off script. That'll make me feel much better. So I don't have to think with all that Virgo energy that I have to find the right word. I want to have fun.
So as I was kind of thinking this through, my audience that I'm trying to reach is people who are hurting and don't quite know how to solve for it. And
I make notes too, being a Virgo.
Me
so
too.
Keep
I
going.
Keep my notes. And you have talked about a lot of things. One, you talked about authenticity.
Right.
You have talked about discovering who we really are.
Yes.
And I do like the call to action, like get into action, make it happen. I love that. But the concept of like authenticity makes me think of our child self. When we're children, we all have a desire to be authentic, and then we have this desire to be accepted. And people can pit those against one another within you to force you to conform. So you want a cookie, but it's not appropriate to ask for a cookie. And so your mother makes you feel bad about wanting a cookie. So you deny yourself the authentic side of yourself, the cookie that you want, in order to conform for her acceptance. So we become accustomed to letting go of things we desire in order to fit in. And as we do that, and then we get older, we're so busy fitting in and making money that as we reach some kind of point where we're supposed to be there, we feel empty. And it's because we have been consistently denying ourselves our authenticity.
Denying who we are.
Right.
So you had asked a question about, you know, authenticity, and it's such a thrown about word. I don't think people really understand it. And really is everything is subjective anyway, so we can all interpret things different ways. But to me, being authentic is being my true essence. So, okay, fine. What you know, then there's more words. What's my true essence? It's not what others have led me to believe I am. It's that what's in that heart. It's that I know I'm authentic when I feel at peace, at harmony, creative, joyful, then I'm truly being myself. And to me, that's being authentic, my real self.
Because I think, and like when I'm doing improv, or if I'm singing, it's you can't, so like if you try to hear yourself singing, it's hard. You go flat. And so you just have to sing with like confidence. And when you perform like improv and you're you're being the Irish grandma, or you're a troll, you can't think about your past or your future. Because if you think about your past, you're falling into depression. If you think about your future, anticipating what could happen, then you start experiencing anxiety. And when you're in the moment and you're
That's
not
where we
doing,
need to be.
that's where I think
We
we're
all
our authentic self.
absolutely in the moment, in the now. Now is all that there is. And then many say that all the different nows are existing at the same time. But when we're really focused in the moment, all the energy can influence us
Okay, so that's
and the
interesting that you would say
stream.
that. That all nows exist simultaneously. So here's kind of a, that seems a little woo-woo to like, that's my
Very
sarcastic sound
woo-woo.
for people who haven't really changed their worldview, in that they're still reasoning in the train of thoughts that they've been
Well,
programmed to run.
we can take it to the science even. So you've heard of string theory,
Right.
where there's multiple universes existing at one point in time, and we're all like in this wave. That's the eternal moments all living out at the same time.
This is interesting. So, like, I was talking about this last night, just before I went to bed. So, Jerry sent me.
Did you dream about
Is this a dream? So, Jerry sent me an email, and it was really thoughtful. And he woke up with this thought that trust what is, because we don't know what we don't know, is what he
That's
sent
right.
me. And there was
Yes.
this sort of, script that he wrote out, really thoughtful. And it kind of triggered in my mind some ideas. First, like, trust what is, because we don't know what we don't know. And then there's that saying, you don't know what you don't know until you find out you didn't know it. And it's like, well, why didn't I know it? And then I started kind of falling into
Well,
thought, and then, I,
there's a couple of things there. Trust is surrender. And
right?
when we surrender, all the energy is available to us when we surrender. And trust is surrender.
So you frame it in a way. So you said all the energy is available to us. So here's what
Cosmic,
I was thinking. Like, if we,
God, cosmic energy, source. We're connected to our higher consciousness when we surrender. And in order to be in the current moment, which we were just talking about, you have to surrender. And as Jerry referred to that trust, to me, it's the same thing.
right.
Trust and surrender.
So there's this kind of interesting idea. You said that all moments exist simultaneously. And I had this kind of near-death experience where I exited time. And it doesn't make any sense if you just try to explain to somebody this. And I fell into this understanding that, so it's like the idea of, like, we just talked about, did you dream about it? Well, if I had a dream and in the dream there were characters in the dream, are they all separate from me? Or am I all of those characters? Or would those characters be without me? And the answer is, I'm the one. I'm the
You're
one
the one.
hallucinating all of that, in the way that there is one that's hallucinating all of this. And when I had this sort of experience that came outside of time, I realized that in time itself, there's space for the timeless to exist within it. The timeless one can spend eternity in a moment. And with that, it has endless time to understand and comprehend all things that are contained in that moment. But that moment is just a frame, in the same way if you were Captain America and then you left the Marvel movie.
Time is a dimension of human consciousness. This is a human thing, and we need that thing. It was born in with us for a very real reason, but it's very much a human experience, time.
So we have a language that we use to pass the time, but it's constrained by time. And the way in which we speak the utterances, it's encapsulated within time. So if you're thinking in words, you're going to be trapped in time. So do you exercise or work with people to help them to meditate, to find themselves in that, to fall into that timeless state?
Let's go into that a little bit, or a lot. I don't teach people how to meditate. Meditating is a personal experience, and prayer is meditation. Sitting and mindfulness, quiet is meditation. Playing music is meditation. Whatever takes you to that quiet space of harmony within that just exposes you to the fact that you are part of the one. You know, it's a feeling, you are part of the one, and it's more than the 3D world, you know, the stuff that barrages us. So I don't teach people to meditate, but what I do teach people is the importance of finding that space within themselves that brings them the harmony, where they can then create from it and they can find the peace. And working with astrology, that place is different for everybody else. You take a high Virgo like me, I can be very happy working. I'm in the zone. Think of it as in the zone, right?
Yeah.
It can even be tied into the basic archetypes of astrology in terms of what will make somebody happy. To me, that's a form of meditation. So I don't teach people you're going to go and find a special chair and it's going to be always your meditation corner. You're going to light a candle. You're going to find music that you like and you're going to close your eyes and try to block everything out. That's not what I teach. I teach the importance of knowing themselves and yes, going within through the aspects of what they do that bring them joy. And but that said, I believe 20 minutes a day, quiet. It can be just, you know, you're waking up in the morning and you're laying in bed and you're coming to the moment and you're thinking good thoughts of the day and connection to higher source. That can be a form of meditation. It's really taking the time to know that there's more than you and the ego. And however you get to that space, to me, is meditation.
How do you describe the ego to somebody who really hasn't played with that concept too much?
The ego is the individual that's in the race. It's the part of you that's in the race. What does the race mean? The race to have more, do more, to be more accepted in the world, in the 3D reality. To me, the ego prompts us to want to do all of those things. That's how I would describe the ego.
That's interesting. I think I've observed that there's like a that there is a game or a race that everybody's playing, and it's the game of plus one, where, you know, if somebody does something, you want to beat that, right? And it's always in America, it's capitalism, right? Just add one more dollar to it.
Right.
And it's interesting. It's like the Queen of Hearts saying, "In this place, you have to run faster and faster to stay where you are."
Right.
And this kind of this game, it's fueled by expectations. I feel like that's the ego is the response to expectation.
And it's interesting. It's expectations that we put on ourselves. And
right.
I believe there's a human drive to be loved. And so in order to be loved, we feel we need to be accepted. And so there's that plus one to still stay in the race and still be accepted. Then there, you know, there's competition, of course, too. But it's all about wanting to be loved.
There's this, so we're talking about like this desire to be loved, which I think is genuine, right?
Absolutely. Everything is love. Everything in the universe is love. We want love. We crave love since, you know, the day we're born. And we'll do anything for love.
So that's interesting that you would say that. So I want to go into that a little bit more. So in my experience, as I left my body and connected with source.
And I'd love to hear more about that experience. Like, what
yeah,
was
so
it that
I've
happened so I can
done
understand
episodes
that?
about it and everything. So
I've
for
heard
me,
bits and parts of it, but I never kind of like got the summary full story. You
yeah,
were in
and it
an
would take,
accident or...
So it would take me hours if I were to explain
right.
the experience itself, but it happened in moments. But so I was a police officer and I was suing my police
I
chief.
read that, yes.
Yeah. And I, and it was in the process of that. There was like, they did everything they could to intimidate me to, it was insane. And I was getting to discovery in the lawsuit and I was pro per because, you know, I'm making 48,000 a year. And so we're getting to discovery and I had the chief, I had recorded the whole conversation. Like the guy was dead to rights. I won. And as we were getting to discovery, I fell into a logic trap. You know, there's different ones like what's the sound of one hand clapping? And when you fall under a master that's teaching you and you're the student, they try to evaluate sort of where your mind is. And then they want to set up for you a logic puzzle, a logic trap. And so your guru wants you to spin your wheels until you wake up. And I had never really fallen into something as far as I could fall into it until during the course of the lawsuit, one of the commanders came out to my home and gave me an unlawful order. So I reported it and I said he had no right to come out to my home, da 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 da. And the chief of police assigned him to investigate himself. And he found himself to be innocent, right? And then I'm guilty. And then he wrote me up for reporting him. And I'm having these sort of instances, they keep happening and it just keeps sort of getting louder. The koan, the logic puzzle, is getting louder and louder. And I didn't see what it was until I was finally sitting on the couch one evening. And I was, because I was a police officer, right? There had been an instance where I called out for backup and nobody showed up. So I was getting blackballed and all of this because I was like,
You were the internal rat.
I was ratting out. I was, I crossed the blue
You
line and all
crossed
this
the
kind of stuff.
brotherhood.
The brotherhood. Yeah. This is the collective ego. It's the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was sitting on the couch and I was pondering this question because I'm getting to discovery and I was pushing the thing to go to trial. So I have to get witnesses, right? And none of these other officers are wanting to cooperate with me. Well, it was a class action suit. So there were me and seven other officers that were suing the department. And I was one of the plaintiffs in the case. So the thing that got me was the concept of self-referencing. And I didn't really ever think that through. And so the universe kept presenting the same pattern to me over and over and over again until it was so loud that I had to actually fall into that logic puzzle, which is the thing that unlocked my mind. But I was wondering, like, okay, I couldn't get an attorney because I couldn't afford one. So I represent myself. I couldn't get the police department to respond to any of my records requests because everything that I requested, they immediately put it under a police investigation. And according to the law, they don't have to respond to records requests if it's an active police investigation. So they were doing everything to circumvent everything that I was trying to move forward, you know, and I was being deposed for 8 hours at a time. And I had to object, you know, to questions as I'm being asked because I'm my own legal representation, which is a self-referencing idea. So then I'm thinking about going to trial and I'm wondering, how can I be a witness unto myself? Because a thing can't testify of itself. A thing can't define itself. It has to be defined by an outside source. Otherwise, they bring serial killer X up onto the stand and they say, did you kill all these people? And he's, no, of course I didn't. They say, oh, you're free to go. A thing can't define itself. There has to be some kind of outside reference. So then I thought, well, where does the universe exist? Because the universe, in order for us to say where it is, it requires an outside reference. But the moment you find an outside reference, that outside reference becomes part of the known universe. So then you're back in the beginning again. So where is the universe? Isn't the universe testifying of itself? Isn't it investigating itself and finding itself innocent? Isn't it doing that? And so I just kept zooming out and out and out in this until I realized, oh, this isn't real.
Right.
This is a dream.
It's
This
a
is a hallucination. And a thing hallucinates itself. I dreamt last night. You dreamt last night. And I didn't dream any of those characters in your dream. What was that movie, Dreamscape? Where you could go into each other's dreams or something.
Oh, I didn't see
and
that. That sounds
it
cool.
Was it was a long time ago. I want to say it was in the 80s and it was with Dennis Quaid.
Oh, Dreamscape.
Yeah, it was silly and the effects are just terrible. The guy turns into a
so
serpent.
So your NDE was that you had this experience of disconnection from it all. you physically passed over and went through the tunnel and came back, but it was more.
Yeah. In the experience of it, as I fell into it and I realized, oh, this is a dream, then what follows? Well, I don't want to be the dream. I want to be the dreamer. I want to wake up. And so my experience, as it happened, I disconnected from reality itself and then saw myself outside of myself and was not me anymore.
Yeah.
And realized that I don't want to watch this particular individual's life. And I fell into like a state of wonder where...
Very cool.
So here's something interesting that I didn't realize is that it's not just that for every action, there's an equal reaction. It's that for every movement, it completes a circuit. And I didn't know that. And astrology, I'm sure, goes into all of this where when you're born, there's a certain set of stars. And when you die,
Absolutely.
there's going to be a certain set of stars.
Yes, yes.
And so when those stars move throughout the course
throughout
of
your
your
life,
lifetime, what
yes.
does all of that mean? And if you start connecting those
something.
Dots, it unlocks your mind and you start realizing how connected you are to everything. But in this sort of experience that I had, I realized that absolutely. And
I have so many thoughts about that. There's the thinking line that we are not living reality. We're living in the game.
Right.
And, you know, so that's the Matrix, right? The movie. But, you know, if you just sit back and think about that, that we're in the game of life. We come here to play the game. We come with certain stars. We come with certain lessons we're going to learn, people where we're going to come back in with, our soul tribe, etc. And there's up here are people playing the game like a virtual reality show. And we're in it. We're part of it. If I looked at your stars, Fanny, the time period that you had this NDE, I would bet I could see it in the stars.
Yes.
An awakening. I would bet I would see a strong Neptune. I would see some Uranus going on there. I would see activity taking place. And isn't it so interesting that you're here now? You know, that's the beauty of it. These dark valleys that we go through, but this has been your purpose, is
Correct.
To come around to this and then to have a platform for the world, for everybody to keep dropping seeds for humanity to listen in on and continue the enlightenment that we're all in. Right now, we are in a major time of enlightenment.
Yeah. So after my experience, I realized like I had been raised under some like Christian beliefs. Like I was raised Mormon. And in a
Interesting. I'm just curious, was it strict Mormon? You know, is there such
I
a
will
thing as
say
non-strict?
I will there's like True Blue Mormon or TBM is what they call them. And my family was for a little bit, and then my father fell off into sort of the old school Mormonism and the
That
beliefs of
sounds like
polygamy
more,
and abuse. And it got really unhealthy, and it got very like FLDS sort of wild.
Wow.
You mentioned something earlier. You said that everything is love. And so in my experience, so when I was saying I completed all the circuits, so every question I had ever wondered was cached. And I didn't, it was like if you had a program that ran, that if you're disconnected from the internet, every Google query of yours gets cached in the program. And then when
Right.
it's connected to the internet again, it performs all of the searches for you and
Yeah.
finds the information. So then I was connected to source. And
That
so
is so cool.
everything that I had ever wondered in my life was answered because I was connected to the internet again. And so when I was connected to source, it brought me back to the first thing I had ever wondered in my life as a child. And then people could call it a life review. But to me, it was completing the circuit. So everything that you wonder is like flipping on a light switch, but it just takes time for the light bulb to come on. But there's an answer for everything that you wonder.
Yes.
And so I was
What was the
becoming...
first thing you had wondered? Do you remember that sort of got answered?
So when it started, it wasn't in words,
Okay.
and
Yeah.
nothing was linear. So it didn't take, there wasn't like a angel that was, or like you can try to turn it, it's the story of Scrooge. You can try to turn it into something like that where you do like the past, the present, the future. And
That's not
I
how it
had
works
that.
because there is no time.
Right. So what happens is it just takes you out of time, essentially.
Yes.
And then, so the first things that I was wondering was about like texture and feel as a baby. I didn't understand what the pressures were against my body and what was happening.
Interesting.
And so the answers came to me in the form of a reframing, where the only way to truly answer that is to see it from other perspectives. And so I saw the scene of like the birth from the doctor, from my mother, from, and every scene that I was involved in, I saw the perspective of every character in the scene. So I knew every one of their lives, every question they were thinking, every feeling and sensation they were
Wow.
having. So everything started to be complete. And I stayed in this grocery store when I was like four. I stayed in this grocery store for an eternity. And I lived the lives of every entity in the store, every fly, every bug, every insect, every person. I was there forever until I realized that that scene itself is forever. And it would take forever just to understand each scene. And so we don't have the luxury of slowing things down enough to the completion of our understanding, because
Right.
the cadence with which things move is at such a pace or frame rate that
Right.
we can't make a choice from one to the other completely.
And then doesn't that tie us back to being in the now?
Right.
You know, because when you think of when you really focus on being in the now, you pay more attention to that ant who's crawling across the floor and the
And you
bird
don't want
that's
to harm
singing
it,
out there, and you don't know.
because you know exactly what it's trying to do. And when we have like that complete understanding, it changes everything.
Yes,
And to
yes.
me, in the same way as when we read a book, the narrative of the book is the black letters, but it is printed on something, it's hosted on something, and it's hosted on a page. And
Yes.
the page has to be its inverse in order for us to see. We can't have a black page in black writing. It has to
Right.
be the inverse. So the page, the white of the page, is love. And it's love that's hosting all of this. And the funny part of waking up is changing your focus. Like when you're reading a book, you could become so entangled and you could be anticipating what's going to be on the next page. You could be depressed that somebody passed away on one of the past pages. You could be so engrossed in the narrative that you forget that it's all hosted on love, and that love can host hate. Love
Yes.
can host a dramatic story
Yes.
because love is the inverse of that. And when I was falling into this sort of experience, I went through this guy's life absolutely, from
Incredible.
beginning to all of its ends, and realized that every possibility exists. And so I saw this guy die every possible way. I was wanting to visit everything else, everything. And so I was. And as I'm out in the universe, it occurred to me that I'm in a frame, essentially playing. So I only have so many heartbeats that I can be untethered from this body and be out doing that. And so I have to respond to my anchor, or I have to let it go. But then Scrooge sees the future, right? Then I saw all possible outcomes, that if I made the choice to go ahead and disconnect the tether, I don't want to go back and be a fat cop.
No.
I don't want to do that. I didn't want to go back. I knew I had cancer. The experience showed me I had cancer. I didn't know that I had cancer. I didn't know
Yeah,
what was going on.
wow.
So I said, I don't want to go back, and I don't want to feel the pain that I'm going to have to feel to heal from that stuff.
Yeah.
And so then I saw the lives that would be impacted if I didn't. And it was sort of in, I was falling back into myself as I was mourning or grieving the loss of me from everyone else's perspective. And then I decided to come back. Obviously, oh, here I am. Then I
died. Thank you for
and
sharing.
I didn't come back.
Thank you for sharing that. That's different than other NDEs that I've heard, and I really appreciate it and love it. I want to go back to the word love. God is love. Our Creator created us out of sheer love. Everything is love. I don't know how else to say it. There's no science that's going to prove it, but love certainly does improve health in individuals, improve well-being, bring life back. Love is a powerful force, and it is the force of the universe.
Well, that's interesting. How would you say, like the people on Wall Street, would you say that they're loving?
I can tell you what I feel. I worked for 20 years in corporate finance, big bank technology, right? So I was in it. I was in, you know, the Wall Street because I was on the trading side of the house, as they say. I wasn't in the banking side. There is such an unhappiness, is the only way to say it. There is just an unhappiness. People are in the race. They marry, they have partners, they have children, they have friends, they feel they know what love is, but I don't feel they do because they don't love themselves, is the energy that I get. Not all of them. A big part of what brought me to this point in life, coming up through all of that, is I always felt that energy. I always felt that people were unhappy doing their corporate job. I grew up in corporate. It's just where I fell into. And people would go to work every day and just be unhappy. So people didn't understand what love was, and they weren't emanating love. And I think that they weren't self-loving. So when I look at Wall Street, that's sort of the icon of it, isn't it? Because that's the going after the things that are going to make me happy, the external things that are going to make me happy. When external things will never make you happy, it's an inside job. Cliche, happiness is an inside job, but it's absolutely true. A thing is not going to make you happy. Loving yourself and understanding your place in the universe of oneness is going to bring you that love. Understanding what your role is in this incarnation is going to bring you self-love, and doing that is going to bring you happiness. So love is really it. I had a dear friend who passed away a couple of years back, very close friend, and her sister said to me that at the very end, she could barely talk. And nearly her last words were, "It's real, it's real." And her sister asked, "What's real, Patty?" "Love." And this is a woman who's just gone a few minutes later. So it's that essence of love, right?
And I know happiness is a fleeting emotion. And if you're in happiness for a prolonged period of time, it's referred to as joy. So then you become a joyful person and you're living a joyful life. And is Wall Street, in the way that an illness can have a symptom, is Wall Street a symptom that if you're on a treadmill and you're running and you can't quite seem to get to where you're trying to get to, isn't that unhappiness something that we should look at and pay attention to, like, and ask ourselves, why am I unhappy right now?
As a collective, absolutely. First of all, there's contentment, right? Contentment is the most important thing. I want to be content with my life. Am I going to be happy and joyful and just smiling every day and just, oh, it's such a beautiful day? No. That's not sustainable. Although, just to digress, people want that. And so when they don't have that, they think they're depressed. And then they want the drugs, but we'll stay away from that. So is Wall Street a symptom of it? I believe that people who are living externally, they're not living internally, they're living externally, they're in the race. That's the cliche we're saying with Wall Street. It's the day-to-day living in the 3D world that we live in, right? So people that are in that mode and are not thinking beyond day-to-day and are more following what's external that's going to make them joyful or happy, that is the treadmill, as you refer to it. Now, what gets them away from that? That's the big question. Some people never get away from that. Some people have a moment in life, such as you had a moment in life, where it's their time, but you had a choice, like everybody else has a choice. We all have moments. We all have things that happen to us, but we have to make the choice. Some people decide that they want to know why. What's the why? Why am I unhappy? Why am I here? What's that all about? I don't want to follow those people anymore. I'm not happy doing that. I'm going to change my life. Not everybody gets to that point in life, but those that do start the journey. It doesn't matter what age you are, but they start the journey, just as you did when you had your NDE. They start the upward climb. There are different ages of souls as well. I know I'm an old soul, so I've lived many lives, and I believe I was into metaphysics in previous lives. It just came very naturally to me once I started getting back into it. But there are young souls, and young souls are not going to have a visibility of something outside of themselves to evolve to. They're just not going to have that. The older souls would be more like someone like you who's lived lives. And so when this experience started happening, where you were this police officer in this terrible situation, tremendously overweight, unhappy, the world was crashing in. It's almost like the energies from before came in and it just plucked you out of that.
If you have this sort of life that's arranged in such a way that forces you to look at pattern long enough, I think there's only one solution for all of us to reach. And again, it's that this is a dream, right? There's a tribe of Indians that live in Alaska. Anyway, now I sound terrible, but that they have like 16 different words for snow.
Wow.
And each word describes just the tiniest variant in the type of snow. And to all of us, there's just snow. And
great?
So when I could say, like, to all of us, there's just, are you male or female? There's only this gender. That's all I understand. But then we're talking about now, if you aren't a kind of man that just can sort of fit in an accepted box, then you start to look at the snow a little closer than other people do. And you start to realize that maybe there's not just snow and no snow. Maybe there's 16 different kinds of snow. Maybe there's more genders than
right.
just what we initially thought. And when any one of us stop and look at anything, we realize that everything is on spectrum.
Right.
It's not good to define things. So if you're spending your time defining a narcissist, then you're saying, then I'm not the narcissist. So I don't exist at that pole of the sphere. So are you saying you're an empath? Because if you are, like, the highest command we can give ourselves is to say, I am.
Mm-hmm,
and
absolutely.
Anything that comes after that
is what you are.
Is what you are.
Or will
so
be.
You turn the light switch and it starts a circuit and it's going to complete itself. And so if you say, I am an empath, then guess what? You're going to attract. You're going to attract more narcissists in your life. If you define yourself as the victim, guess what you're going to be? In order to take your power back, stop defining things and stop and just start being. Help me understand that if I'm one having a dream, and you worked in technology. So as an archetype, like if you're programming in object-oriented programming, this is how we create video games. You say object has X, Y, and Z attributes. So it has slow speed or fast speed and low shields or whatever. And so are these archetypes things dreamt up by source that keep repeating themselves? Because everything here is pattern-based.
Look, the ultimate is to return to the one. In the beginning was the one, and then separation came. There's a lot of stories about what separation came. The philosophy that I happen to believe in is God was the one, and God was love and is love, and God wanted to experience love through others, other beings. And so God created the separation. God created the souls. We are all one. And we ultimately return back to the one source. So how does God experience life and love through humans? There's many other things going on out there, but I'll talk about the human experience, right? We incarnate. And so we come back into the flesh through parents and an environment and people that we will incarnate with for a reason. And the reason is the evolution of the soul through time to return to the one. Humans have fear, humans have hate, the human experience is not an easy one by any stretch. But in experiencing all of it, we evolve back to full love. So I just jump forward. If we take a look at Buddha or Jesus, Krishna, these ascended masters, they weren't always ascended masters. They had been through the whole thing, and then they come back as ascended masters to teach us. So souls come into life. We choose. So we choose our parents. We choose our environment. We always travel with the same soul tribe, which is interesting. And we make agreements before we all come back as to what lessons we're going to learn. You happen to have a terrible father. I'm sorry to hear that, but you're not a victim. That was part of your evolution. So let's understand how we evolve from that and stop playing in that role. Don't let that define you any longer. Astrology helps us do that.
And that, my friends, brings us to the close of part one in this soul-nourishing journey with Jeannie Kimmel. If you're like me, you might be feeling that gentle hum in your chest, that one that happens when truth passes through your heart on its way home. We touched on so much in this first conversation, how past versions of ourselves might not be ready to hear certain truths, how language evolves as we evolve, how astrology, trauma, and transformation are all threads in the same grand tapestry of awakening. But this is only the beginning. There's so much more to come in part two and part three. Deeper dives into the architecture of the soul. Stories that shimmer with vulnerability and wisdom that continues unfolding long after the words are spoken. Jeannie's insights open up a kind of inner spaciousness, and I can't wait for you to experience what's next. If today's episode moved you, even in a small way, I'd love for you to help us spread the ripple. Please take a moment to like, share, and subscribe to Philosophical Entertainment wherever you listen. Or if you're feeling called to go even deeper, join our growing circle of seekers by becoming a community member at philosophicalentertainment.com. There, you'll unlock access to bonus materials, behind-the-scenes insights, and special episodes reserved for our community, those of us walking this path together, curious and courageous, hand in hand. Because this show, it isn't about just ideas. It's about connection. It's about remembering. And it's about co-creating a reality where love, wisdom, and presence are not just talked about, but lived. I also, before I close, I want to mention one last thing. It's not talked about in this episode, but after our three-hour session, me and Jeannie, she decided that she wanted to head up a little mini-series called Know Your Stars. And we're going to start releasing episodes for Know Your Stars coming soon. We're thinking over the summer, we'll start releasing them on Wednesdays. And so that would be Jeannie's series and her spot that she'll be filling in. So thank you for staying for these little updates and letting this all close out. And also, thanks for joining me and visiting with this energy. Thanks for being part of this unfolding moment. Until next time, take care of yourself and love without delay.